Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, April 27th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page XXX, the sixth paragraph that begins with, "This immediately precipitates us into a seething cauldron of debate, ending in, most chronic alcoholics are doomed." We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Sherry Z, who will be reading the 12 steps, Lily M will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Lois P, Barbara W, and Dion R. The share ID for Tuesday, April 26th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 18,885. That's 18885. This morning's Wednesday, April 27th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 18,887. That's 18887. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Shelley E. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Sherry Z to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Sherry Z, recovered in Southern California, and these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood God. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry Z. And Lily M., if you'd read the 12 traditions for us, please.
Yes, good morning. This is Lily, a recovering compulsive overeater in Idaho, and such a pleasure to be doing this reading. Number one, the 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service teams may employ special workers. Number nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for the ability or opportunity to be of service. And I pass.
Thank you, Lily M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page XXX. The sixth paragraph that begins with, this immediately precipitates us into a seething cauldron of debate, ending in most chronic alcoholics are doomed. And we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. So good morning, Lois P., if you would get us started, please.
Thank you, and good morning, Kathleen. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. This immediately precipitates us into a seething cauldron of debate. Much has been written, pro and con, but among physicians, the general opinion seems to be that most chronic alcoholics are doomed. I lived in that seething cauldron of debate my whole life. The pros and the cons, I didn't need to hear this from any specialist or other people. This was going on in my own mind, in my own heart. The seething cauldron of debate was, I can do this. I can do this. I do so many other things, so I know I can do this. It's not a big deal. And then, on the other side, I am totally helpless. I can't stand this any longer. I'm in so much pain. I just can't do this. And then the next day, I'd be back on, come on, just stop eating for today. You can do it. It's no big problem. It's all right. Do it for a couple of days. Go on the next weight loss program. You'll be fine. I try the weight loss program, and a couple of days later, I'm back in. I can't do this. I just can't stick to this program. There's something wrong with me. I don't know what's going on. This seething cauldron slowly was killing me. Slowly. I didn't realize it, but when I look back now, I see so many years of my life I wasted in this back-and-forthness about this condition. And I had no idea that it was a condition. I just thought that I had a weak will or that I had a strong will at other times. It was all about me being able to overcome this terrible obstacle, which I always believed was within my own power to control. And it was only when I came to understand the great Dr. Silkworth's appreciation for what is really going on in my body, did I find some relief. And that recognition that I was told about in reading Dr. Silkworth's appraisal of what's wrong with an alcoholic is what's wrong with me. And it was such a great freedom because I'd been dying all those years. I was missing out on so many opportunities with my children, with my husband, with families, with events that I was ashamed to go to, but I showed up anyway, you know, because I had to. I could have been there joyfully and freely enjoying my life, and I wasn't. I was in so much pain and putting on such a good front and acting as if, and it was torture. So that doom that's talked about, the doctors understand now that most of us are doomed if this situation, this condition isn't remedied, is a slow dying process. And I'm a testimony to that. I put on so much weight, and then I would lose some of it and think that I'm back on track, and then I would slip again, and I'd go right back down into that seething cauldron where I was tortured. And I continued to torture myself until I really came to this beautiful gift of understanding through Dr. Silkworth that I have something that I cannot control. It's a physical disability. And I see it as that now. And thank you, God, because I don't have to spend the rest of my life in this debate any longer. I've surrendered. There's freedom. There's joy. And I wish I had been here 20 years ago. But I wasn't, but thank you, God, I didn't have to live the rest of my life burning slowly to death in my inner suffering. So hope this wasn't too heavy, but thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share. I pass.
And thank you so much, Lois P., for getting us started. Okay, so we are on page XXX, the sixth paragraph. This immediately precipitates us into a seething cauldron of debate, ending with most chronic alcoholics are doomed. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share who hasn't shared in the last 3 days on this paragraph?
Irene B.
J.R.
Okay. I heard Irene B, and then someone came in after Irene, but before Sherry. Who is that?
Dion R.
Lisa J.R.
Dion R. And I got Sherry B, Elaine B, Dion. Who was the last person?
Lisa J.R.
Lisa J.R.
Robin P.
And Robin P. Okay, let's stop right there. So I have Irene B., Dion R., Sherry B., Elaine B., Lisa J.R., and Robin P. I think I have your initials right. So when you announce yourself, if you give the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from, and go ahead, please, Irene B. Star one to unmute, Irene.
Oh, my goodness. I was talking away. Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B., a recovered bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Being doomed. Yeah. If we don't recover from this condition, we are doomed. No question about it. And I'm going to get back to what is my condition. It's like the food is only a symptom of the problem. And the problem manifests itself in multiple forms. You know, I have an addiction to food. Food is my higher power. I have an addiction to validation. I'm codependent. That's another, you know, other people are my higher power. I'm addicted to having a man in my life. You know, I'm a love and validation addict. And so I have all these higher powers except for myself. I'm my own higher power. So I'm doomed. I'm completely doomed because I'm a slave to all of these external things. And the way I understand it, my creator created me to be in communion with him, it, she, or whatever, whatever your higher power is, whatever my higher power is. I was created to be in communion with him, it, or she. Well, when I'm in communion with anything other than it, I'm doomed. I am absolutely doomed. And the more I go away from my creator, the more doomed I am. So my only solution is to have a spiritual experience to connect to higher power and to change my thinking. Because let me tell y'all, my thinking is messed up. Not my intellectual thinking, but what's in my unconscious mind, what lives in my reptilian brain. That's what's messed up. And I don't have access to that because the intellectual brain does not have access to what's in that prehistoric brain. Only my higher power can have access to that because he can do all things supernaturally that I cannot. And I believe in the supernatural power of my higher power. He has shown me time and again that he's there for me. And even though as a little girl, I thought he had abandoned me, in hindsight, I realized that's not the case. That was my little girl in my undeveloped brain processing circumstances.
Time, please.
And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Irene B. in Louisiana. And Dion R., you're up, followed by Sherry B. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning, Patreon.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me okay, Kathleen?
Yes, we can hear you, Dion. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Seething cauldron of debate. Seething, something raging. Cauldron, a large container of liquid. Oh, man. My. And I see that they're talking about whether we should be entirely absent or not to receive relief. It's because the previous paragraph says the only relief we have is to suggest is entire absence because of the phenomenon and the manifestation of the allergies. And I'll be all over the place in the world, and I'll debate not only about the food or whether I should work the steps before I put the food down or work the steps after. Either way it goes, what I got from this, what I get every time I read it, and go over with sponsor, it reminds me why I failed so many times at getting relief in the program because I had to put it down. I couldn't work the steps. Some can, I couldn't. I could not work the steps with a belly full of food or my bench food, hoping that I would get abstinence and roll to recovery and to be able to recover where I can just say, nah, I don't. You know, it's neutral. That's what I mean, neutral. I'm not arrived. I haven't arrived, but just neutral. So where it says that cauldron debate, yes, I don't need to get, I just used to love to debate. And the message my higher power has let me know, you want to be happy, Deanna, you want to be right. I thought right was supposed to be, everybody want to be right, you know? And today is just like, tomato, tomato. If you can work the steps without it, putting the food down, fine. But for me, I need the only relief and continued abstinence I have and recovery from that seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Didn't think about food when I go on trips and none of that. I plan, and then I live. I live. This is what works for me. The other way I tried it, and all I thought about was food, and everything. So, well, I have enough to eat. Billboards. My husband would say, why do you watch all the billboards for food? You know, I thought that was normal, right? Until the miracle happened where I must put the food down and then work the steps because I have clarity of mind. I can hear. But that main thing I heard when my sponsor took me through the steps on a clear-headed brain where I had to put the food down is I have an allergy. And everything started making sense. And the only relief to my problem to have it, and here's the underline before, I know we're talking about that, permanently eradicated.
Oh, Jesus.
That's a promise. Permanently eradicated means I no longer have to worry about food, and I'm no longer doomed as a compulsive overeater. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to share. Be of service. Have a great day.
Thank you, Dion R. And Sherry B., you're up, followed by Elaine B. And we are on the last paragraph on page XXX. So go ahead, please, Sherry B.
I'm Sherry Z., and thank you so much for your service and for all of you in attendance this morning. I'm from Southern California. Seething. It's filled with anger and moving in a rapid way. So the minute the phenomenon of a craving ignited in me, I was moving. My head was moving. I was trying to manipulate, to figure out. And I started to get teary this morning thinking about how many hours, minutes, days I spent, you know, calculating, figuring, manipulating, thinking in a rapid way about how to get thin. You know, how do I get this down? And how many, you know, how much time I just spent like seething. Like, you know, I have this image of like a witch with like, you know, with her fingers in front of her, like calculating. And it's like, just like, what's the magic potion? What's the ingredient I can put in the cauldron that will enable me to be free of this disease? And here I come into vision and I have food neutrality, and all these hours and minutes open up for me because I'm not spending so much time seething. And I'm so grateful today because vision has opened up for me an ability to literally surrender that I have a disease. Like, this isn't like futzing around thinking about maybe I do, maybe I don't, maybe I do, maybe I don't, maybe there's another thing out there. It's like, I'm done. I surrender, God. I no longer use food for comfort or courage. I don't have it in me anymore. So God, take it. And that has opened up a lot of time. And I'm just so grateful. So thank you so much.
And thank you, Sherry Z from California. Elaine B, you're up, followed by Lisa J.R. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you so much for your service. Oh, this is just an important thing. And you know what? For me, the calling... the seething cauldron of debate was between my ears, you know, but the medical community has been impacted hugely by alcoholics, but also by overeaters. They have tried, you know, bariatric surgery or just all kinds of things. But how would that help an anorexic? How would that help a bulimic? It's not going to help, you know. And the thing is that we can put our cage around our food. We compulsive overeaters can put a cage around our food and restrict for a time and whatever. But our real problem is what's eating us. You know, we need a design for living. We need a solution for life. We need something that when food lights up is the solution to build awareness in us. We've got a problem, and the real problem, you know, we maybe have a problem with weight. We may have a problem with Oreos or Twinkies, but we really have a problem with life. And that's so hard to accept right here, right now, when all I really want to do is lose weight. And I'm reading this doctor's opinion for the first time. But, you know, if I am, then perhaps I've tried doctors. Perhaps I've tried nutritionists that gave me an excellent food plan, but I couldn't stick to it. Perhaps I'm seeing something new that may be above and beyond what all the doctors and nutritionists and professionals were able to tell me or help me with. Maybe, just maybe, I need to to crack open my mind that and just accept that I wouldn't have this little chip in of a book in my hand if there weren't a lot of people that have discovered that they were not doomed because of their alcoholism. They were not doomed because of their compulsive overeating. No matter how much I'm jockeying around in my head and trying to figure it out on my own, I could do. I was powerless over the food. But I had an inspiration. And it's interesting because I took out some old pictures recently and a picture of a binge buddy of mine giving me a hug at my wedding shower was there. And 7 months later, she was dead. She died from this disease. This is a killer disease. We need a solution. If you're here just experimenting, if you're here just wondering, please, please stick around. Please give it a try. We want you to be around. You're not doomed. There is a solution. And I hope you find it. I hope you find the spiritual solution and find your ease and comfort from a loving higher power rather than food and answers and direction for all those things that drive you to your food. And I pass.
Thank you, Elaine B. in Massachusetts. And Lisa J.R., you're up, followed by Robin P. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, and thank you, everybody who's shared, and thank you for doing service moderator. The lead, kabam, nailed it. You know, I love when people in this program that have been around a while say that I resigned from the debating society and how true it was. I used to roll my eyeballs when people said that on the line, but I know it to be true now. You know, if I had been a Mustang, I would have been one of those Mustangs that was too wild to be broken. You know, I just would buck and buck and buck. And this disease took me out into the deep sand after 50 years of living in that debating society and tired me out. It rode the buck out of me, and I, you know, finally surrendered. And to me, surrender was a dirty word because as a child, you know, the people I surrendered to, you know, let me down, betrayed me. So food was the one thing that never betrayed me, my feelings. But as I grew older and, you know, cultivated my illness, and nurtured it and babied it, you know, that was the biggest betrayal of all. That was the biggest betrayal of all. And I needed to surrender, truly surrender to God. I was going around program with a two-legged stool. And you know what happens when you sit on a two-legged stool? Body and mind, I intellectually understood everything for a long time. But spiritually, it just didn't settle into my bones that surrender was my problem, the lack of surrender. I was always fighting, always debating the disease, even in the early years of recovery, just, you know, debating being terminally unique. You know, no, I have binge eating disorder. People don't understand that. Yes, I can binge on cabbage. I can binge on anything. You know, I'm different. No, I'm not different. I have something that, you know, the cabbage and the cupcakes were only a symbol of. I was a psychopath in the disease, but I had deeper issues below that. And that was something I had to come to terms with and realize that my Father in heaven, who I choose to say is God, was never going to betray me or let me down, and that I could submit to his leading. And until I did that, I found no freedom. And you guys helped me see that. So I truly have surrendered from the debating society. And thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you, Lisa J.R. And before we take you, Robin, I just want to remind everyone we're on page XXX, the sixth paragraph, that last paragraph on that page, beginning with "This immediately precipitates us into a seething cauldron of debate," ending with "Most chronic alcoholics are doomed." And I'll be taking some names after Robin shares. So go ahead, please, Robin.
Thanks so much, Kathleen. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And I just love hearing all the shares. Thank you so much. I feel like my family is in the room with me. So thank you. God bless you all in your recovery. You know, I just also agree that I always was so in my head and so in the debating society and trying to figure it out. And every time I'm trying to figure it out, that's the disease. And anytime I surrender to God, that's the recovery. You know, and chronic alcoholics are doomed. I was so doomed to a life of isolation. I was right. They were wrong. Like all of this self-righteous anger and resentment and fear. So much false evidence appearing real. And or F everything and run is the other way I've heard it. And, you know, I was so doomed to live alone. And now in recovery, I have friends and I have family. And in spite of a lot of, you know, during COVID, there's been a lot of family situations and people on other sides of things. And still, you know, we get to work our recovery so that we're not doomed, so that we get to still have love, overcome fear. And every time we show up as recovered people, I know in my heart that love wins. And every time we hide in the disease, the fear wins. And I just think it's like, you know, I remember hearing that story of, you know, if you don't feed the wolf, you know, who are you feeding, you know, and don't feed the wolf and it won't take over your life, you know, and it's this thing about really being vigilant with my thoughts, because it's the mental obsession combined with the physical allergy. And that mental obsession is the thing that I get to just really guard with my whole life and surrender to God. Because so many times when it comes up, I go, oh, I'm right. I'm right about this. Oh, but this one's different. It's never different. It's just another gateway to mental obsession. So I don't need to be right. I just need to be happy. So God bless everybody with a very blessed, abstinent day. Thanks so much for all your service on this meeting. I love you all. I'm sending you all a big hug.
Thank you, Robin P. in Costa Rica. Okay, if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, I'm ready to take some names for the last paragraph
Lorraine,
on page
Lorraine
XXX.
E.
Lorraine
Kathy
E.
Angie.
Jody E.
Kathy K. Jody E. Deb
Pam
E.
M.
Monica L.
Pam, who came in after Pam?
Monica L.
Angie.
Monica L. Okay, let me
Annabelle.
Tell you who I have here. I have Lorraine E. I think I have this right. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Lorraine E., Kathy K., Jody E., Deb E., Pam, Monica L., and Annabelle. And I don't know if we'll have time for all of you, but that's my lineup for now. So go ahead, please, Lorraine E., and if you want to tell us where you're calling from when you announce your name and the first initial of your last name, that would be great. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. Thank you for everyone being on the line this morning. It's a wonderful meeting. I'm calling from Washington State. I'm a grateful recover just for today, compulsive overeater, food sober for 24 hours. This really hit me. This really hit me when I heard this morning that most of us will not recover. And I thought about that a lot when I was hearing it. I was thinking, really, is that true? And I think when I hear that, what I think of is, it's for me, I couldn't recover because I couldn't surrender. So it's interesting. They don't say, you know, this program doesn't work for most people. It's not phrased like that. It says it, most people will not recover. And I think about too, most people with any addiction, not only do they not recover, they never even find program. So I'm part of this very small group. You know, there's a small slice that find recovery, and then there's a small, even smaller slice who get recovered. So So I'm like part of that 1% of that 1% of that 1%. And I don't know what it is, but I was just given that gift of complete desperation where I would do whatever the book says, whatever the steps told me, whatever my sponsor told me. I was desperate enough to follow those directions one day at a time. And that can change. You know, I have to stay humble and say I'm just recovered for today. And I'm grateful enough to have been desperate and willing to follow this solution, to take directions, because I never took directions. The only thing I did was debate. And the funny part was I was really sick. You know, I was sick from this disease. I had cancer. I was dying. And I'm still debating with people at that point that I'm right. So it didn't matter to me if I got well, if I was going to survive. It just mattered to me if I was right, because I was egocentric and I was really ruled by my ego and not God. And now just one day at a time, I start my day in prayer and meditation by surrendering to God, by having an ego death and not living that way anymore. So I can be one of those who gets to be recovered, who gets those benefits of recovery and peace and serenity and freedom. Just for today. So with that, I'm going to pass. Again, I haven't been on the meeting in a couple weeks. This is wonderful. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Lorraine E. in Washington. And Kathy K., you're up, followed by Jody E.
Thank you, Kathleen, for your service. This is Kathy K., recovered in Boston. And I'm so grateful to be on the meeting today. I just heard so many reflections of me over the years. And for those who are relatively new or who are struggling with abstinence and recovery, I want to share with you, I've been in OA for 30 years. And the first 10 years, I was strongly agnostic, and I simply worked a food plan and made outreach calls, but I was not willing to work any of the steps that mentioned God. And as you know, there are a lot of them amongst the 12. And it was only by continuing to come back and to listen and to gradually become more willing. And when I say gradual, it was not until 10 years into my program that I actually began to study the big book. And today I can tell you that I do have a vital relationship with a higher power, and I have my own understanding of that higher power, and it is kind of, in my view, a miracle. I never thought I would be here, and it's simply because I kept coming back and I kept doing what I could do until I developed enough willingness and humility to surrender to what we're told in the steps. Thank you so much. I pass.
And thank you, Kathy K. in Massachusetts. And Jody E., you're up, followed by Deb E. Go ahead, Jody.
Thank you, Kathleen. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in California. So this little paragraph always makes me think of Overeaters Anonymous. There's a seething cauldron of debate within Overeaters Anonymous as to whether or not we need to be entirely abstinent. At least that's what I experienced until I got to A Vision for You, where that debate was put to rest for me and for many people. When I first got to OA over 30 years ago, no one was in my intergroup was talking about abstinence. And the big book was our primary literature at that time. There was no OA literature. We used AA literature, and yet still people were not abstaining. And something in me knew that I needed to abstain. But it took many years to find this fellowship in which there was a common agreement that we too, like the alcoholic, have an allergy of the body and that we need to abstain entirely. So I'm glad to have this seething cauldron of debate settle down for me and for my community of compulsive overeaters, because it wasn't helpful to me to be debating about that. And as has been said, among physicians also, the general opinion probably is that we chronic compulsive overeaters are doomed, because they can't imagine that we could or would put down our alcoholic foods. But because it seems impossible, as it seemed to me when it was first suggested to me, even in OA, I couldn't imagine not eating my alcoholic foods. But it is possible, and we can do it with neutrality if and when we work these 12 steps diligently and daily. It is possible. Not only is it possible, but it's totally possible. It's a reality for many of us. And you too can join us and be happily abstinent if you simply follow the directions in this book. And we will hold your hand and we will go through it with you. And there's tremendous freedom on the other side. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jody E. in California. And Deb E., it is your turn, followed by Pam. Go ahead, Deb.
Thank you. Hi, this is Deb E. in Israel. And the word seething is what popped out to me today. I looked it up, and it says filled with and characterized by intense but unexpressed anger. And that intense but unexpressed anger is the way I've lived before coming to program. And I was reminded of it recently in seeing people I grew up with, the mentality I grew up with just like, don't really look at that stuff and deal with it, just kind of carry on forward and don't look at the past. And what I've found out for myself is that I need to look at the past so that I can process it and reconcile it and understand what my addiction, the depths of my addiction that we do. What I look like unchecked, you know, what my life looks like when I'm not working this program, when I don't have that connection to a higher power and all the people around me. And I'm so grateful that today I live a life that I can actually recognize my emotions, that I can deal with them. I still, you know, resist it sometimes. And just like ignore, but I always see time and time again that that's not the answer for me. The answer for me is to be aware of my emotions, discuss them with someone else, process them, and use them for something good, and use them to help somebody along. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Deb E. And Pam, you're up, followed by Monica L. And what's the first initial of your last name, Pam?
F. This is Pam F., as in Frank, in San Antonio, Texas. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, great. So good morning, everyone. I appreciate everything that has been said. I think this is the first time that I've ever talked on this meeting. So I wanted to say that the reading this morning, what it reminds me of, also, is when I stepped into my very first Overeaters Anonymous was back in 1992. And I had a huge awakening and huge levels of abstinence and surrender and miracles that happened in my life. And so I am definitely a testament to that. As long as I surrendered and I continued working my program in every way, I definitely had miracle after miracle, and I could get off of the debating platform and listen and surrender to my God, who I choose to call my, well, God, my higher power. One thing that I remember that came to mind whenever we were talking about this, though, was when I was working with a sponsor at one point, and we were going over my food plan after a nutritionist, and that's what I like, too, is, you know, I'm the one who has to identify what my allergy foods are, and, you know, others don't know for me. It's not just a one-shop deal in a lot of ways. And I was talking to my sponsor about it, and just an example, which he did and was talking about, was doing no sweet and low at the time. And I remember being so frustrated and so ticked off, because I was like, but I can do sweet and low. I'm not like everybody else. I can. Like, I do a half a packet, and that's it, because I don't really like the stuff. And so we kept debating and kept talking about it, and then finally she said, well, okay, let me ask you something. If you don't have a problem with it, then why are you in so much turmoil over giving it up? And I was like, oh, God, I was so pissed. I was so pissed that she was right. If it really wasn't a big deal, what does it matter? And so, you know, I learned a lot through that, and I learned, you know, what it looks like to truly surrender, to try someone else's way, if it makes sense for me, certainly. And, you know, to get off that debating society and to remember the miracles that have been getting to me through this program. Whenever I do fight, you know, I see it as my ego, you know, and for me that stands for edging God out. And, you know, it comes so subtly a lot of times, you know, I don't even realize it sometimes. But I really learned today that more than anything, my ego is not my amigo. And so I need to stop debating and just really listen to my higher power, who I choose to call God, and ask him for guidance and really look at, you know, what is it that is best for me, and to be able to do that and to work my program. So I appreciate all of you, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Pam F. in Texas. And Monica L., you're up. And sorry, Annabelle, I think we're going to run out of time. So go ahead, please, Monica.
Okay. Hey, Kathleen. This is Monica L. in Flagstaff, Arizona. I'm on day 17 back from relapse, and I'm so grateful for the meeting this morning, and I'm sharing because my sponsor gently nudged me into sharing. But I wanted to talk about just two things in this paragraph, and one is, I don't think Dr. Silkworth is, you know, he doesn't identify as an alcoholic, so when he's saying it precipitates us into a cauldron of debate, he's talking about physicians. And he's talking about the ones that were just absolutely convinced that it could be cured. I mean, that it was an entirely a mental control, and that with chronic alcoholics, they absolutely could not rehabilitate these people. And so I think it was passionate discussions among the physicians regarding the chronic user. And the word doomed, you know, certain to fail and be destroyed. And like, I've been in recovery for many years in the original program. And I just want to say that the feeling of doom just is never in the rooms, even in our OA or in Vision for You. It's so opposite, that feeling of what miracle is around the corner. And I just, it's so funny how we come in feeling so doomed and so heavy and so hopeless and so just pitiful and sad. And once we start really embracing our higher powers, and slowly as each little miracle happens along the path, there just the doom just kind of washes away, and you don't even realize it's happening until you kind of look back and go, wow. Just wow, and you see other people light up. And so I just want to say that in my experience in recovery, that doom is just something that if we get in the lifeboat with all the others, we can let that slip away, and we won't even realize it's happening until suddenly we're in the sunlight of the spirit. And so I'm so forever grateful. Thanks, Kathleen.
And thank you, Monica L. in Arizona. And I'm sorry, Annabelle, that we don't have time this morning. But I do want to thank everyone for your shares this morning. And we are now going to close with a reading in the big book on page 164. So Barbara W., if you would read a vision for you, please. Star one, Barbara.
Yeah, here I am. I apologize. Okay, 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realized we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.